book of Romans, one of the greatest books for a Christian. Thank you, brother. One of the greatest books for a Christian in the New Testament. And we'll look here in Romans, several chapters of it, so you want to keep your Bibles open for a few minutes tonight. I just thought it'd be good for us getting some of these church epistles. And this is a church epistle by Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. Make sure, as you study along in life, that you will understand that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Me and you are Gentiles, all of us in here. Unless you're a Jew, descendant of Abraham, you are a Gentile. Everybody who's not a Jew is a Gentile. Now, in Christ, when we get saved, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. We're all Christians. But an unsaved Jew is a Jew, and an unsaved anybody else is a Gentile. Paul was called by God to write to the Gentile church. That was his ministry. They accuse us of robbing Peter to pay Paul, and that's exactly what the Lord did. The Lord, that ministry shifted from Jew to Gentile in the Bible. You can't, if you look at it when you read it, you can't avoid seeing it. As going through the book of Acts, somebody called me the other day and asked me about healing and the gifts of healing, and people still get healed and stuff today. And the obvious answer is yes, of course they do. God's the same. He can do anything he ever could do, and he'll always be able to do anything he can do now. But the ministry and the sign gifts that an apostle had is a Jewish sign, and that's a whole different study. I don't know a man anywhere that can just walk up and put his hand on anybody and heal them. That's what he said they'd do. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Period. And they did. Now, God still does it. Don't get me wrong. When you say that, people say, oh my goodness, you mean you don't? No, no, we do. We just don't believe we have the sign gifts that an apostle had. And the obvious reason is, put up or shut up. If you can do it, go over and empty the hospital out tonight. And ain't nobody going to do that. So you got to get it rightly divided. If you don't, you'll wind up believing crazy stuff. Now, here in the book of Romans, I'm going to show you tonight what I call marks of discipleship. Discipleship. Everybody in here knows what a disciple is? A disciple, what does that word sound like, disciple? Can anybody tell me? Discipline, maybe? Disciple, discipline, disciple. It is basically, a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. A follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, everybody here that's saved, your desire ought to be a disciple, a follower of the Lord. In other words, everybody here tonight that's saved, it ought to be your goal in life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we fail, we get up and try again. Where we come short, we ask God to forgive us, and we try to get. We're striving every day to be more like Jesus, to act more like Jesus, to talk more like Jesus. Matter of fact, that's why they called them Christians there in Antioch. The first time they called them Christians, they looked so much, acted so much, talked so much, did so much like Jesus. They said they're Christians, little Christ, Christy, a little Christ, Christians. And so tonight, here in the book of Romans, get your Bible, and I want you to keep your Bible in your lap, open, and I'm going to show you. I'm not going to preach. We're just going to study this a little bit tonight. The Bible says sometimes we're supposed to slow down and study. That's what we'll do. Romans, we'll start in chapter 4, and the first thing I want to say, the marks of a disciple is a happy person. If you're following the Lord, you are a happy person. Romans chapter 4, look at verse 7. Everybody look at Romans 4, verse 7. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now that word blessed and blessed, as you can say it either way, is sometimes used almost interchangeably with happy, blessed. I'm so blessed. I'm so happy. Now, happiness. The old song says, happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. You know that song? Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is something that God gave. Now look at verse 6. You know who's happy? David described the blessings of man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. If you want a good study sometime, you study back there in that whole Old Testament, that covenant that God made with David. That's why he's talking about David here in the context. You know what God told David? David said, I'll give you, make my covenant with you, and I'll not break it. God made an unconditional covenant with David. Unconditional. Now, some of them covenants he made in the Old Testament was conditional. You do this and this, and I'll do that. If you don't do this, then I'll do that. But he said, I ain't going to take my righteousness from David. That's a perfect picture of the doctrine of eternal security in the Old Testament. The covenant that God made with that. It's unconditional covenant. You know what he calls it? He calls it the sure mercies of David. God said, I'm not going to take my mercy from David. I don't care what happens, what don't happen. God had a special relationship with David in the Old Testament to typify. Every New Testament doctrine is typified by an Old Testament story or doctrine. Every time, every doctrine in the New Testament, there's some Old Testament type back there. You know, you're talking about the rapture. There's a lot of people out there. Are y'all cold? You fine? Yeah? No? The rapture back there, talking about the rapture, there's people putting out books now saying, see, God didn't rapture Noah out. He took Noah through the flood. God didn't rapture Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out. Took them through the fire, through the fire. Well, that's all good and well if it wasn't for one fella. And that man's name's Enoch. And God did rapture Enoch out before the flood. Noah is not a picture of the church going through the tribulation. Noah is a picture of a Jewish remnant preserved through the tribulation. Enoch was the seventh from Adam and disappeared before the flood came. So there's a Bible type. And I'll preach on that pretty soon. I mean, I've been planning on it for a long time. I'll probably wait till after the youth rally. I'm going to be consumed with it for the next 8 weeks or so. But probably will on it soon. But anyway, I said that to say this. Happy. You know what everybody in the world really wants? They want to be happy. You know why a person wants a new house, a new car? They think, my life will be better. My life will be happier. There's nothing wrong with that stuff, but it don't make you happy. I'm telling you, these people up there in them mountains that ain't got nothing hardly that's happier than a businessman in Charlotte that lives in a $800,000 home and makes that much money every year and not happy. Ain't nothing wrong with the big home or the big salary. But what good is it if you're miserable? What good is it if you're miserable? I'd rather be happy and broke than rich and miserable. And I mean that. I mean that. Now, you can be rich and happy. You can, like Solomon was. But don't depend on it. Depend on the Lord. Depend on the Lord. Make you happy. Are you happy? What if I ask you tonight, are you happy? Your answer to that would tell me what kind of follower of Jesus Christ you are. You ever met these people that they're always miserable? And not only are they always miserable, they are determined to make everybody around them miserable. You know anybody like that? I dread to see them coming. This guy, he used to wait on me when I'd pull up to church in Marion, and I could see him pacing back and forth in front of the glass window. I thought, oh, Lord, here I go again. I'm going to get my day ruined. And I would come in the door, and he'd say, brother, we need to talk. And I wanted to go, I'm trying to study, trying to get in a good. And the devil, I believe, used him a lot of times just to get me in the wrong spirit before church started. Do me a favor. If you got something real terrible to tell me, please wait till after church is over, you know. I'm telling you, you can pastor, I just thought, okay, and we're quitting church this week. I mean, that's a real blessing right before you get up and preach. But he would do that. And I thought, man, if you'd just rest in the Lord and enjoy being saved and count your blessings and think about all the good stuff you've got and quit worrying about what you ain't got, you know what the devil will do to you? The devil will get you to thinking about, well, you don't have this.
you don't have that, and you don't have the other. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hands? He's done you that way. You'll see somebody on TV. Oh, my goodness. Look what they've got. Look what they've got. Look what they've got. Look what they've got. Listen here. You are sitting in a church tonight. As far as I know, everybody in here, say, your name is in heaven, you brat. Amen? I mean, you're not going to burn in hell, and ain't nobody in here look like you're starving to death at all. I mean, you are eating well. Amen? God's been good to y'all. He's been good to you. You are in the 6% elite, richest people in the whole world if you live in America and eat good food and got more than one change of clothes. You're a rich person. You ought to be shouting tonight. But you know why you're not? The devil will pick out somebody and say, well, you don't have this, and you don't have that, and you don't have this. You just look at him and say, look, I'm saved. I've got the sure mercies of David. I've got the sure mercies of David on me. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He don't impute my sins to me. Glory to God, man. I ain't got no reason to complain. We ought to just jump up now and go, woo, hallelujah. Right, do it at school tomorrow, y'all. Right before class starts, jump up and say, oh, glory to God, good to be saved. Amen. Do it at work tomorrow. Walk in and hug your boss and say, it's good to be saved, ain't it? And you might get a funny reaction from that. But you know what? I can be, and I believe I am, happier than most movie stars in Hollywood. I believe I am. Because I know where to get it. Do I got problems? Yeah. Is everything right? No. I have bills, worries? Yes. But I don't get my happiness because of possessions or my looks or a camera looking at me or a movie or a contract. I get it from the Lord. That's where you got to get it. That's where you got to get it. And all this other stuff I'm going to talk about too. All right, let's look. I'm going to talk about peace. Look at Romans chapter 5. Still got your Bibles open there? Look at Romans chapter 5. Here's a great verse. Read this and believe it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're happy through Jesus? You have peace through Jesus. The only peace anybody ever had is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, little saying they put on bumper sticker and stuff, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. It's sort of a play on words there. No Jesus, K-N-O-W. No Jesus, no K-N-O-W, peace. No Jesus, N-O. No Jesus, no peace. And that's true. That's true. I never had peace in my heart till I really got right with the Lord. And I don't have peace in my heart now when I'm not right with the Lord. You know the most miserable person in town? Let me tell you who's miserable. It's somebody that's really, really saved and trying to sin all the time. That's a miserable person. Because there's something in here saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. You're doing wrong, you're doing wrong. You shouldn't watch that. You shouldn't listen to that. You shouldn't go there. You don't need to be around that. And then something says, you're a miserable person. You ain't got no peace. You'll never have peace. You just throw up your hands and say, all right, Lord, whatever. I'll trust you. I don't care if I ain't never got nothing. And he'll help you then. And the peace of God floods your soul. I've lived with peace and I've lived without it. And it's a whole lot better with it. There ain't nothing the devil's got to offer that's worth giving up your peace with God for. Peace. Peace. I know people, we in the bus ministry, we see this a lot. But I know people that their whole life is nothing but fighting and fussing and arguing and going to jail and fighting with this relative and that one, and he stole this from me and I'm going to take him to court and I'm going to do this. Their whole life. And you see them 5 years later, it's still just fight, 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 fight. Trouble, arrest, drugs, alcohol, everything. I mean, just over and over and over. Listen, the Lord can give you peace. The Lord can give y'all peace. How long has it been since you just felt peace? You know why a lot of people have to get drunk every night? Because they ain't got no peace. They have to knock themselves out just so they can sleep. The Lord will give you peace. He said we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You're welcome to, I'm just teaching, so you're welcome to help me. If anybody, can anybody give us a testimony of No peace, no Jesus, no peace, no Jesus. Right quick. No peace, no God. No peace, no Jesus. Anybody? Okay. Everybody got peace. Peace in your soul. All right. Number three. Turn to chapter 5, verse 11. Here's something else that you'd want to have make you a better life. And not only so, but we also joy in God. Here it is again. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. You get joy through Jesus. You get happiness through Jesus. You get peace through Jesus. It all comes through Him. Our whole joy is in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, buddy, He's it, people. The Lord Jesus Christ is it. He is the central figure of human history. He's the center of attraction. Read that on the front of this pulpit. In all things, He might have preeminence. He's first in everything. It pleased God that in Him should the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwell. So you get joy through the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that joy is through Jesus. Everybody knows the song. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, everybody knows that song? Joy. Now, what's the difference in joy and fun? Fun is what you get when you go ride a caravan. Joy is something that you don't have to have nothing out here. It bubbles up on the inside of you. There's a difference. You don't have to pay for it. I've heard people say, I went to Carowin, you know, and it was 100 degrees, and we had to park 5 miles away, and I got a speeding ticket on the way down there, and we had to stand in line, and people was pushing each other and cussing, and I rode 6 ride and threw up and everything, but boy, we had fun. And, you know what? I don't know about that. You have fun, and there's nothing wrong with clean fun, but it ain't joy. Fun is different than joy. Joy bubbles up from way down in here somewhere. Have you ever been really right with God and going down the road and you just start thinking? Maybe you're listening to a good song and boy, it starts getting real. You start thinking, what about that? I got in, man. I'm really saved. I'm part of His family. Glory to God. I know what they're singing about. How many of you ever felt that? Raise your hand. Okay? That's joy. That's joy. It ain't got nothing to do with a band playing. It ain't got nothing to do with who's coming over to your house or who you're going to spend the evening with or your boyfriend, girlfriend. It's something the Lord gives you inside. You can't always depend on them boyfriends or girlfriends or husbands or wives or mamas or daddy. You got to get it from the Lord. I know girls say, if I just had a boyfriend, I'd be the happiest person in the world. Maybe, maybe not. If you get your happiness from Him, you won't. You say, well, if I could only get married, I'd be the happy. Maybe you would, maybe you won't. Marriage don't make you happy. The Lord makes you happy. Amen. That's right. So the joy of the Lord. Did you know, I read today, and I mean, I knew this, but I didn't know it was this bad, but depression. Depression is everywhere. You would not believe the people that are diagnosed with depression. I guess everybody experiences depression to one degree or another. I'm not sure that I know what they're talking about when they say, Brad, I had somebody ask me one time, they said, Brother Danny, have you ever been depressed? And I said, I don't know if I have or not, really, to tell you the truth. If you mean you want to kill yourself, yeah. If you mean you lose about everything you got and ain't got nowhere to turn, yeah. But it don't last. I've had people say, you mean you thought about killing yourself? Sure I have. But not more than 5 seconds. Now, if you sit around and plot it for 2 or 3 hours, I guess you're depressed. And I'm not trying to make fun of you because some people really battle with it. But I always think, and I think it's the best medicine for depression. When something don't go your way, think, you know what? I'm getting exactly what I deserve. Actually, I deserve worse than this. So, Lord, I'll take it and, like a man going. Don't start thinking, poor old me, poor me. I'm pitiful. Oh, I've got it so hard. Nobody loves me. Now listen, if you start thinking like that, you'll be trying to kill yourself before it's over with. One guy said, he said he borrowed a gun, tried to kill himself, and he shot himself and lived. He said, I'm a failure at everything I've ever done. Can't even kill myself successfully. And I'm not. I know that's not funny, but you can't just. I mean, look at the. You can't let yourself look at the bad all the time. You just can't. I mean, maybe somebody's got a testimony. I don't know. It's Abraham Lincoln, they said, went through deep periods of depression. Now, have I ever just shut myself in a room, stuck my head in a pillar and said, oh God, yeah, I've done that. I mean, I've lost about everything I've got, had, salary and family and everything else about it in one whack. I know what that feels like, bottom of the barrel. But you don't stay there. There's something in a child of God that says, I'm not going to stay down. By God's grace, I'm not going to stay down. And you don't have to. Paul, in jail, brother, stripes on his back. They beat him and everything. He looked over at Silas. He didn't say, well, look what this preaching got us into. Now, I'm telling you, I thought the Lord was going to take care of it. No. Paul and Silas sang and praised God at midnight, brother. And Lord, listen, if you lose everything you've got and you lose your job and you lose, you know what the best thing for you to do? Start singing and shouting and praise God. Don't start singing the blues and talking about how pitiful you are. You know what my philosophy is? You've been coming here to church long enough, you know my philosophy, and you ain't going to beat this, what I'm getting ready to tell you. Always expect the worst, hope for the best, take what comes, and keep your mouth shut and thank God you ain't in hell. That's a good rule to live by. You know, there's some people saying, well, I didn't know this was going to happen. Well, just expect the worst, because it probably could happen. And hope for the best. I hope for the best. I expect the worst. And I take what comes, keep my mouth shut, and thank God I ain't in hell. If you'll live by that little principle, you'll be a lot happier and smarter person. You got to do what the Bible said. All right? Abraham Lincoln said, I am the most miserable man living. Isn't that something? You would have thought he, way back yonder in 1860-something, I am the most miserable man living. He said, if everyone in the world on earth had what I had, there would be nobody left. I must die or get better. That's the only two choices I've got. Abraham Lincoln said that. Depression is everywhere, and you got to get your joy from the Lord. I'm not a doctor. I'm a preacher. I can't diagnose you if you got something physically wrong with you that makes you have anxiety and all that kind of stuff. I can't help you with all that stuff. I know the Lord can. I'm not telling you to throw your medicine away, but I'm saying this. If you'll get your heart right enough, get your joy in the Lord, I think it does have an effect on you physically. I think the Lord and the joy and the Bible has a definite physical effect on people. And the other way around. The Bible said that scripture be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The Word of God. The Word of God make you healthier. It will, like vitamins. All right. Anybody want a question right quick? I'm going to finish this up. Amen. Amen. Wait a minute. Who said that now? Her sister said, who's going to marry him? Oh, okay. Okay, I got confused there for a second. Amen. Amen. And y'all lived happily ever after. I'm happy. I'm very happy. Amen. Amen. My wife said she's not. No, she didn't say that. No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. You'll have to ask her. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's right. Well, listen, let me show you all these lessons right quick before we're running out of time here. Look at chapter 6 and verse 21, and I'm going to show you one here that you might not have got before. Some of this stuff you already know. I bet you never thought of this one. All right, you know how to be happy? Be ashamed of your past. Be ashamed of your past. Everybody hear that? Be ashamed of your past. Look at it. Chapter 6, verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed, that wicked life you used to live? Be ashamed of it. He said, well, I'm not ashamed of nothing. You're a fool, buddy. I'm ashamed of a lot of stuff in my past. And he said to them people, you're ashamed of those things. The end of those things is death. I'm a little weary of Christians who are always bragging about their sinful past. Paul, isn't it? He said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward to those. Listen, we shouldn't glory in those wicked things. I've heard people, now look, I'm all for giving you testimony, and you'll hear me tell tales about when I was growing up and everything, but listen, brother, we're supposed to be ashamed of our past. We're supposed to be. You say, ah, man, I used to get drunk every day. You know, you should be ashamed of that. You should be ashamed of that. Amen? It's what it says. It's what it says. Let the past be the past. I'm not saying don't give you testimony. I was a blasphemer, or I was a drunk, or I was a whatever you was. But I'm ashamed of those things now. Thank God I'm forgiven. I'm not that way anymore. That's the way to be happy. Don't live in the past. I run into a buddy of mine, I grew up with, and he played in our band. One of the bands that I was in, I was 13. And we went, they took us down there to the studio in Charlotte. We cut a record. Can you believe that? We was the only band around Marion and actually made a record. I'll let you hear it sometime. The guy wrote the song. One of the songs was named Happy, actually, and the other one was Wrong Ticket. And I was playing bass guitar on that, and I'd started it off. And not long ago, I run into our drummer. It's been last year sometime, in the grocery store. He said, how you doing, Dan? I said, how you doing, man? And we liked him. He said, I was talking to one of the boys the other day. He said, we ought to get the band back together. I'm trying to be like, you know, like the Rolling Stones or somebody. And I said, I don't think I can do that, Dan. He said, oh, man, we'd get together and have fun. I said, I don't think I can do that. Wouldn't y'all see it's sort of funny if I told y'all, Saturday night, my band's going to be playing over at the Moose Lodge. By the way, if it's wrong for me, it's wrong for you. Wrong for you, go listen to rock music and go to the Moose Lodge. If it's wrong for me, amen. You say, well, you're a preacher. Well, you're a Christian. So don't, but I'm not going to. Don't worry. I mean, I said, no, man, them days are gone. Them days are gone. Yeah, I'm ashamed of what we did. We did play at the Moose Lodge, actually, and I don't know how I got in there. People was drinking and everything. I was only 13. And I guess because my daddy was a member of the Moose Lodge, and we played for school dance over there. And I remember seeing school teachers, people worked at the high school, and they were just dancing with each other's wives, and alcohol and everything. And I remember I was 12 or 13, and I thought, man, these people. I had enough of my mom in me to know that that wasn't right. But I had enough of my daddy in me to go ahead and participate. And I was torn. I was torn. And I wasn't even saved, but I knew that wasn't right. I knew it wasn't right. I worry about people that don't ever see nothing wrong in anything. There's something wrong with you. You needed my mama for a mama. Everything was wrong to her. Everything was sinful. Amen. That's better than, I'd rather mom say everything's sin than nothing's a sin. Or maybe overboard that way than the other way. But anyway, you should be ashamed of the past. Here's a good way to look at it. You should be ashamed of what you were, but don't be ashamed of what you are. Don't be ashamed of what you are. You can be ashamed of what you were. Paul was. But he said, by the grace of God, that stuff is in the past. All right, let's look at this one. Brother Clark mentioned this here, Romans 7:22. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. There's your delight. I delight. I like that word, delight. That's a good word, delightful, man. Just something's delightful. Man, I like that word. I want something's delightful, don't you? His delight is in the law of the Lord. and in his law doth he meditate day or night. I read this, and I'm not sure this is true, because you're getting into physical and not spiritual. My calling is to help you with spiritual things. They say depression comes. Listen to me. Depression comes from a lifelong habit of thought. A lifelong habit of thought. You grow up thinking, I'm being mistreated. I'm a victim. Everybody's mean to me. I ain't got a fair shake. Now, that may be true, but you can't go around thinking like that. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Sometimes I have to make myself quit thinking a certain way. And you know, the only way you can do it is think on that which is good. Think on that which is holy. Think on that which is pure. Don't you all get yourself just thinking. I'm not talking about wicked necessarily, although it might be that. I'm just talking about thinking. You start thinking bad about your church. You start thinking bad about your wife, your friends. You just start thinking bad, negative. That don't come from the Lord. Devil's putting that stuff in your heart. Just start thinking good thoughts, good things, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things. You know, instead of thinking who ain't here, thank God for who is here. Don't worry about them that's not here. Thank God and shout for who is here. We ain't perfect, but by the help of God, we got a perfect God. I announce it on the radio all the time. When I say, come to our church, I said, we don't have a perfect church, but we got a perfect Bible and a perfect God and a perfect hope for the future. Okay? Quickly. I can't spend time on that one. Romans 7:19. You have an inward conflict. Romans 7:19. Look at 19. For the good that I would, only a saved person can understand this. The good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, that's your hands, your feet, the members of your body, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! You know what that means, don't you? Man, I want to do right in my heart. I want to do right, and my stupid flesh does wrong, and I say, no, God, I'm never going to do that again. Then I do it, and oh, I want to do good, and I don't, and I don't want to sin. Then I do sin. Oh, wretched man that I am! What am I going to do? Here's what you're going to do. Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There he is again, the Lord Jesus Christ. So with a mind myself, I serve the law of God, but with a flesh, the law of sin. This old flesh is subject to sin the rest of your life. But thank God if we don't have to live by it, let it rule us. We have an inward conflict. You got an inward conflict. And if you're saved, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're a good man in a bad body. Inside you wants to do right and serve God, but that old stuff right there, just as mean as it ever was. Amen, people. Let me hear a good amen right there. All right, the last thing is praying. Chapter 8, verse 15. Look at chapter 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. The Lord adopted us, whereby we cry, Abba. That's Father. Abba. Like Daddy. That's our word. Not being disrespectful. It's like our word for Dad. Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, and that's right, it's supposed to be itself. Don't worry about the NIV. Beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, the way to be happy is pray in the Spirit. Sometimes, when you're praying, you don't even know what you're supposed to be praying for. You don't know how to pray. How many of you ever been up against something and you don't even know how to pray? You know what you do then? Oh, God. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. You know, I don't even know what to do. Lord, I honest to goodness, I don't know what to do. Please just lead me. Please help me, Lord. And let the Spirit of God make intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. I think when you pray, God looks and He sees how sincere your heart is. And then the Spirit takes your real need and takes it up to God and presents it before the Lord. Even with groanings that cannot be uttered. Sometimes we don't even know what to ask for. Did somebody raise their hand? Okay. That's how we're going to be happy, y'all. That's how we're going to be happy. Any questions? You just come and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know which job to take. I don't know which path to go down. Lord, help me. Your will be done. And then trust Him and go. Anybody, right quick, before we stop. I hope tonight that you'll make up your mind to live by these principles, which is exactly opposite of what the world teaches. You know what the world teaches you? Get. Go get all you can get. Go have all you can have, and you'll be happy. That ain't what the Bible teaches. Get your heart right with the Lord Jesus Christ, and happiness just comes and gets in the car and rides with you. Amen. Let's bow our head. Stacy, come over here and play something right softly just for a minute. We'll not have any singing tonight. We'll just have just a little short prayer.